So that part has always made me feel good about that part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one time it was done without money. One time the help was, you know, community. And I remember when I was small, that's 1937, I remember going away to grandma's. I was told to go to grandma's, and I wondered why I had to go to grandma's very early in the morning. But my mother was childbirth. She was feeling pains, I imagine, and I had to be taken to grandma's. And from grandma and older sister, we went to school. I never went to school before, but I went to school that morning. And imagine grandma did not want me underfoot, being worried about her daughter, my mother. So I was in school and the bell began to ring. One, two seconds, like that. Angelus, huh? So we all, a teacher let us out. And I remember going out with my sister, going out, you know, we're glad, it's like recess, huh? But I saw my father standing at the corner post. He was holding on to the post. And I told my sister, why is Dad hanging on to the post? So we went over there. And what's the matter, Dad? You know, Mi'kmaq, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And he just looked at us and he couldn't speak, but he was crying. That's the first time I saw my dad cry. But he couldn't tell us, so he said, go to your grandma's. So we went to grandma, everybody went home and went to grandmother's. And I remember grandma standing at the door, and a man came. I was sitting on against the wall on the bench, and I saw grandma standing at the door. And a man came by on a road, and I heard her say, what's going on, Gabriel? Gabriel was the grand chief. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a chief.
Mm-hmm.
Just Chief Gabriel Siliboy at the time. So she said, what's going on, Gabriel? And Gabriel, the old man, told her, Annie has died. And she fell back on the floor. And I remember my older sister putting face cloth on her, you know, trying to wake her up, water on her. And she was all right after, you know. And she stood up. And I can't forget that finger. Her pointing the finger at me, it is your fault. And, you know, all through the years, I always had a feeling that it was my fault my mother died. But it wasn't, you know.
No.
And when I grew up older and married, and my own children slept with me sometime, that's when I found out why it was my fault. Because a child moves around and sometimes and accidentally kick you. So I think that I rationalized it like that, So being a mother myself, you know, and then, but I knew she died of childbirth. Because the woman that held her, when she died, I spoke to her, you know, I asked her why mother died, and she said, your mother died with the baby inside of her. She was cold. That's from the cold.
Mm-hmm.
She was the fish, smelts, you know, fish, and she was on a cold ice too long a period. She had branches there under her feet, but that's not enough. And I imagine that hurt her and she died. And that woman there, she told me, and she tried to, she looked, she asked my dad if he would allow them to, because they used to do that. If a woman died, still a possibility to save the child.
Mm-hmm.
They usually cut the woman open and save the child. And they asked they saw a movement.
Mm-hmm.
My dad came in. A doctor came in first.
Mm-hmm.
And he took my mother's pulse and everything. And he went towards the door again. The midwife, she said, I jerked him back her shoulder like that. Hey, aren't you going to do something?
Mm-hmm.
She's beyond help. That's what he said. She's beyond help. She's beyond mm-hmm. help, huh? So she said, he walked out the door, the doctor, the person that he depended on, you know. So she helped my mother. That was her friend. They were like this. So she held her. And mother, she said to her, sweat was rolling down. She said, sweat as big as that. She said it was rolling down my mother's face. Mm-hmm. But she didn't cry. She didn't holler. She said she suffered silently until she died. And she said she whispered in my ear something. And she said, I have not told a living soul what she told me that time. And I said, can you tell me now? She said, mm-hmm. She said, no. She said, I have kept that promise to your mother as long as I live. And a little while later, that particular lady, she had a gangrene on her leg. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
So they had a mass at her house, because they used to do it during Lent, different mm-hmm. people, mm-hmm. mass at somebody's house. And when it was over, she looked around. She said, is Rita Jo here?
Mm-hmm.
And they told her no, because I had not heard that mm-hmm. they wouldn't have a mass. I would have went. And she said, she looked at the priest, Father Pius Holly at the mm-hmm. time. She said, Father, I had a strange dream about Rita Jo's mother. Last mm-hmm. night, and another, she named two other mm-hmm. three of them. There were four on a sleigh, and she said, my mother was in white robes, mm-hmm. and she was on a sleigh, and she went behind the moon.
Mm-hmm.
She went behind the moon, did not come back. And the reason why she thought about that was when they were young, when they were, you know, young married women, mm-hmm. they were 18 or mm-hmm. 20, and they used to coast in Waikagama, their ships, huh? They used to coast for hours,
mm-hmm.
bobsleighs and a mm-hmm. whole lot of them, and all women together, or mm-hmm. they had one young man, maybe two young men, you know, carried, mm-hmm. you know, pushed that thing up mm-hmm. the hill again. And they said my dad used to be jealous.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I heard later, huh? Because he was much older than her. He was 60
oh.
when he married her, and she was 16.
Oh.
So mm-hmm. I guess, you know. And me, she had five children by him. And I was the youngest one, and the next one died mm, with mm. her. I used to ask a lot of questions about mother. And another thing I asked my sister, why my children, some of them, they have a sixth sense.
Mm-hmm.
I have it, but it's only in dreams or mm-hmm. intuition or something.
Mm-hmm.
I said, why are they... sometimes one of them mm-hmm. sees things that mm-hmm. Not of mm-hmm. this world, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And I asked my sister that. She said, our mother used to, Wesiket. Wesiket is Oksiket, or Wesiket. That means telling fortune
oh, yeah.
in some form. Mm-hmm. And she said, mother used to do that with cards.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I didn't know that. I learned a lot from my older sister. She knew more because mm-hmm. she was 12 when mother died. I was mm-hmm. only 5. So there's a lot of things like that, you know, learn about grandparents or the other people in the mm-hmm. community.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all I learned because my dad was old when he died, being with him. But I used to remember sitting on his lap and I would ask him, I said, how do you say Rita in Mi'kmaq?
Mm-hmm.
I used to ask him, Rita, why was I given that name Rita? And he used to say Lita, Lita. Mm-hmm. There's no R in pronunciation in Mi'kmaq. So I wanted to know the Indian name of mm-hmm. Rita. And him, Joseph,
mm-hmm.
Joseph. I imagine it's pretty near in different dialects, too, pretty near the same, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Joseph. Mali is Mary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Simon is Baksima. Gabriel is Gabriel. Pierre is Peter.
Mm-hmm.
John is Samuel. Samuel. I had an uncle named Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
John Newell, a lot of them. I don't know why a lot of them were given John Newell as names. A lot of Indians have John Newell. I imagine the missionary priest
says
a saint's name or something right at that particular moment.
Are all the Mi'kmaq Catholics?
Yeah, most of them.
Is there,
majority
is there,
here in the community, I can count on my hand how many that are not practicing or other religion. There are a few different religions, not
are
that
there
many.
Is there any of the old Mi'kmaq religion around?
Traditionalists? Yes, there are some traditionalists.
In this
but
community
they are,
as well?
Yeah, traditionalists, they call them traditionalists.
Yeah, yeah.
But they are, they're spiritual, more spiritual. But they don't go to church.
No.
Their church is the woods or whatever, earth. Yeah. Sometimes I think to myself, that's a poor excuse for not going to church. Being a traditionalist, I think that, you know, I do not like to criticize my own culture, but I always think that. Being more spiritual, I listen to their stories too, and there are people seem to, when they live a good life, people in the community, the way I look at it, majority, small half percent for the bad apples, but the majority in this community are good spiritual people. They're good, they work their way. Even the traditionalists. The traditionalists now, that guy, he doesn't go to church. He practices sweat lodge and everything. But when there's an auction, he's an auctioneer. He'll auctioneer all day for somebody that died. So that's the good part. They are good. And I have tried
to
learn.
Well, that's probably where the auction on that comes from something that is even older than the church.
Yeah, older than
so
the church.
It's part
older,
of,
yes,
of what
yeah.
it stands for.
And then there's a story. I had a little quill box. Did you see some of my quill work? I only have a few, but I had over 30 or 40 pieces this summer. I sold a lot of it to a museum. Now I had this box that this woman made me, a white cross on the top, white cross like that. And one day we were talking about this chief, warrior chief in the Miramichi, who had, he was sick, he was in coma, and he was hurt bad and they kept him alive. And we were talking about that. I was telling Mary Rustin this story. I said this warrior chief who was kept alive by the people for one moon, at 1 month. And when he woke up, he took a stick and he drew on the ground. I made a spirit in my shadow world. And he drew that symbol. And that's the symbol that was on the cross, a little cross over on the side too. And the spirit told him, you will be better if you wear this symbol on you, and you will become progressively better, and your people as well. And there was an epidemic at the time, something was wrong, seriously wrong, and he told the people, wear this. And wear it on our clothes, let's put it, you know. So he gave them directions. I imagine they followed, just like the two, you know. This is very European, so that's the symbol. The clerk came along, they already had this symbol. Where did you get the symbol? So they just told a story about this chief. So I was telling Mary that story, this friend of mine, she lives in Sydney. And we were laughing at it. So she said, our people knew about this symbol before the European. I said, yes. And she didn't say anything. We talked about others. We're cousins. That's when we talked about other gossip and everything. About 2 weeks later, she called me up again. she said, Rita, I have something special. Because I asked her all the time to make me glue boxes for the craft shop. She said, I have something special for you. So I went, Junior took me. And she brought out three little boxes. Oval and different shapes. Oh, they're beautiful. I bought them right there on the spot, what cash I had. And she said, there's another one. She was sort of hanging back with it, huh? There's another one that I want you to see. And she brought out a little box that big, the white cross on it. I said, oh! I said, the Kjigluchewi. You did it. Kjigluchewi Ksadunik. I said, you did it. And she said, yes. She said, this one I made special for you because of the story, you know, we're told her, huh? So I had that. And I put a $1,000 price on it because I didn't want anybody to buy it. I had it in my craft shop, in a thing that I had there, showcase. And that was there. People looked at it, oh, yeah, $1,000. Even European people, yeah, $1,000. I said, yes. Why that one? Then I would tell the story. So I had that and I took it to University of Gettysburg, Maine, California, told a story. And I said, I will not sell this box. This is not for sale. This is for me personally. And what something unusual happened about in November. Two people came from Shubenacadie. This priest, he's an oblate father, came. And this woman, Pino, which is not good, came to see you about quill work. Because you say, well, you're famous for quill work. I brought out my little boxes. I said, here they are. I didn't bring out that little cross because I had no intention of selling it. He said, we want a container for the Eucharist. And we want a traditional container. This will be, host will be held in there. Right there, bing, you know, I have this, go to my room. And I said, I have just, he was looking at the other little boxes he was going to buy, yeah. He had them all, this one may, Gino, he said, this one maybe, you know, they were having discussion there. So when I brought out the little box, I said, here, Father, here. He looked at the press. Oh, Gino, you think we're going to be afford that? He looked at her, huh? She's the one with the pocket of money. And I said, I'm going to knock the price down, Father. Looked at me hopefully, huh? He's a big guy, he's 6 foot big guy, huh? He's looking at me kind of hopefully, huh? Knock the price down, Father. Yeah? How much? I said, a hug. Oh, I don't know how that guy got up off that seat. He hugged me, huh? I said, I hugged. And, oh, gee, I had a beautiful experience that time. I felt something right there, right there. It was, oh, you cannot describe it, huh? Someday I'll write about it. And there was another one. He bought $200. This one is mine. I'm going to give it as a gift to somebody, yeah? And now that, he had me sign that on the bottom. To Buccino. Buccino means father. To Buccino Gilbert. That date. Remember him. Took it with him. And I know that little box will make history.
Give me five then.
Because it will be held in good care. And made by Marion Rushton. And there's a lot of her work.
Did you tell her?
Yeah, I told her.
You got candy?
And a lot of her work.
No, I mean, did you tell Mary that you
did? Oh, yes. Oh, my God. I went to her house and her husband. You did that? Oh, my God. He couldn't believe it. Mary kept telling her, you're going to become famous. Mary is famous for her work already because I saw a lot of her work to museums. And I made it a point. This is a 57-year-old woman who made it, Mary Rustin. That's her work will be on display at the Museum of Nova Scotia. So that's what I, you know, that's what I've been working on. You know, I have received fame, and I have my rewards. Personal triumph or personal achievement or something, that's mine. I'm working on other people. But the most important part is showing what these people have done. A woman here, she's 58 years old, has been making baskets since she was 7 years old. Nobody knew how beautiful her work was. This past summer, I got her to make me a man and a woman, basket woven, dressed, sold them to the museum. Now they're going on a North American tour. Man and woman, made of basket woven. And I told her, this is what's going to happen to your work. Oh, that woman cannot read or write. But her, and I said, boy, Mary's work and the other people too. Different people that do different work. Trying to get it out and sort of hoping. That's why I hope, you know, I was going to turn this into something, this building into a museum or culture center, or, and I think I will do it next summer, because next year, 1991, is the year of the apparition. And this work has to be, it has to be shown what people can do. Look how beautiful that painting is, way over there. There's a woman here, she's in her 30s. She
does the painting?
She did not know she could produce something so beautiful. But when it was displayed downstairs, she couldn't believe it. She said, I did that. Yes, you did.
Oh, yes, you are.